Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. It's been a while. We haven't actually done a program in 2 weeks. Last time we were on the show, I interviewed Mr. Gareth Fraser about the booklet A Warm Friend of Israel. But then last week, my family went to Washington, D.C. My wife and I were celebrating our 2-year anniversary. My daughter Loma actually turned 1 during the trip as well. So we were sad to miss the show last week, but at the same time, we saw a lot of great historical locations on our trip. Our producer, Gino Chi, is actually stepping away from teaching basketball to the campers here at Philadelphia Youth Camp, and he's helping us produce the show today, so we're very thankful he could take the time. Recently, we've covered Jerusalem in Prophecy and A Warm Friend of Israel, and today, with the seals of Isaiah and King Hezekiah discovered, archaeological exhibits still on display at Armstrong Auditorium here in Edmond until next month, we will continue with the Jerusalem theme. Our subject today is Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Fleury's booklet, The Way of Peace Restored Momentarily. Here's the description. A powerful and genuine example of peace was given to this world for a tiny period of time. Was it prophesied in your Bible? When you see how people reacted to it, you can understand why we have no real peace in this evil world. Nevertheless, we are about to have world peace in spite of man and his human nature. Mr. Fraser and I spoke last time about the late theologian Herbert W. Armstrong's special relationship with the tiny Jewish nation called Israel. Perhaps the most inspiring example of this friendship was his support of a World Peace Center. Chapter 1 of The Way of Peace Restored Momentarily is titled World Peace Center and Sinai, the Mountain of God. As Mr. Fleury writes on page 1, Mr. Armstrong restored the way of peace to God's church after 1900 years of chaos and persecution. With the World Peace Center, he momentarily restored the way of peace to the entire world. Mr. Armstrong was the arbiter who brought together President Anwar Sadat of Egypt and Prime Minister Menachem Begin of Israel. Here's a clip from the Sun Also Rises radio program on May 5th, 2016, titled Building Bridges. I gave a short presentation on the show that day. You can listen to The Sun Also Rises at kpcg.fm. Nearly 40 years ago, Egypt and Israel built the greatest diplomatic bridge in history. This bold claim may surprise you, considering that the entire Arab world's virulent hatred is directed toward the Jews today. Specifically, the Muslim Brotherhood is on the rise in Egypt, and they are militantly against the Jews. Maybe you believe the Arab-Jew conflict dates back to 1948, when the United Nations endorsed the creation of a small Jewish state occupying a narrow strip of land just east of the Mediterranean Sea. A league of 5 Arab armies, including Egypt's, then attacked Israel but lost decisively. However, the Arab-Jew conflict extends way beyond 1948, back to the great biblical patriarch Abraham. Both the Jews and the Arabs acknowledge their common ancestry from this great patriarch. This great patriarch lived thousands of years before Jesus Christ, so this conflict has lasted for thousands of years. The military clash in 1948 only exacerbated the tenuous relationship between Egypt and Israel. Thus, pundits and analysts suppose that these two nations could never dwell in peace. It was into this hostile climate that Anwar Sadat was elected the 3rd president of Egypt on October 15, 1970. At first, prospects of improved ties with Israel under Sadat's rule seemed unlikely. Sadat led Egypt against the Jews in the Yom Kippur War of 1973 in an attempt to regain the Sinai Peninsula from Israel. He hated the Jews just like many of his Egyptian brothers and ancestors. But before long, he changed his mind. To the shock and outrage of the Arab world, Anwar Sadat began to work toward peace with his nation's mortal enemy. After four bloody wars between Israel and Egypt in 30 years, the Egyptian president had seen all the massacres he could handle. Following a meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin and United States President Jimmy Carter at the Camp David Accords, Sadat became the first Egyptian leader ever to make the short trip to Israel. In a speech before the Israeli Knesset on November 20th, 1977, Sadat declared peace, not war, like maybe the entire world had been expecting. During his speech, Sadat said, "If I said that I wanted to save all the Arab people, the horrors of shocking and destructive wars, I most sincerely declare before you that I have the same feelings and bear the same responsibility towards all and every man on earth, and certainly towards the Israeli people. Any life lost in war is a human life, irrespective of its being that of an Israeli or an Arab. A wife who becomes a widow is a human being entitled to a happy family life, whether she be an Arab or an Israeli. Innocent children who are deprived of the care and compassion of their parents are ours, be they living on Arab or Israeli land. They command our top responsibility to afford them a comfortable life today and tomorrow. For the sake of them all, for the safeguard of the lives of all our sons and brothers, for affording our communities the opportunity to work for the progress and happiness of man and his right to a dignified life, for our responsibilities before the generations to come, for a smile on the face of every child born on our land. For all that, I have taken my decision to come to you, despite all hazards, to deliver my address." The late Worldwide Church of God founder and unofficial ambassador for world peace, Herbert W. Armstrong, called Sadat's speech the most sensational overture toward international peace made by any head of state in our time. This speech marked the beginning of a diplomatic bridge between Egypt and Israel. The resultant Egypt-Israel peace treaty guaranteed peace for the next 30 years and also won Sadat the Nobel Peace Prize. He was the first ever Muslim leader to be awarded this prize. Begin, the Israeli leader, did his part by returning the Sinai Peninsula to Egypt. Sadat even laid out plans for a world peace center where Jews, Christians, and Muslims could meet in harmony at the base of Mount Sinai, the Mountain of God, as it is called. Anwar Sadat sacrificed everything to make his far-fetched goal a joyous reality. And it worked, but it cost him dearly. Philadelphia Trumpet editor-in-chief Gerald Fleury wrote in his booklet, The Way of Peace Restored Momentarily, "On October 6, 1981, Egypt was having its annual victory parade to celebrate Egypt's crossing of the Suez Canal in the 1973 Yom Kippur War. President Sadat was there. He was offered military escort, but he refused. He said, 'No, I don't need it, and I don't want it. These are my sons.' His enemies, including members of the Muslim Brotherhood, the very organization getting control of Egypt today, knew this, and they had it all carefully planned. Some Egyptian Air Force Mirage jets flew down very low, and they were so loud it was difficult to hear anything. At that moment, a group of men, led by one of Sadat's own lieutenants, jumped out of one of the military trucks. The lieutenant, rather than saluting his president, threw three grenades at him, and the other men fired assault rifles. Within hours, the wounded Sadat was pronounced dead. It was all professionally planned and precisely timed. Mr. Sadat should have known better, but apparently he didn't have such loyal sons as he thought." Even though Sadat's vision of world peace never materialized, his example stands as a powerful witness to this war-torn world. Anwar Sadat
was the architect of a diplomatic bridge that united Egypt and Israel for 30 years, the greatest such bridge in human history.
Again, that was a clip from the Sun Also Rises radio program on May 5th, 2016, titled Building Bridges. Check out all 9 of our unique KPCG radio programs at kpcg.fm. I would really encourage you to tell your family and friends about the different programs that we have at kpcg.fm. There's programs about music, literature, human interest, the Bible, world events, family. And really, if you listen to these programs, it is the first step toward really changing your life for the better. On page 2 of this booklet, Mr. Fleury writes, "In the past, I have criticized Israel for accepting that offer from Sadat. But after studying into it more, and particularly after looking at how Mr. Armstrong responded to it, I am convinced that this really was a valiant and laudable peace effort, and I even believe that, to some degree, God's hand was in it." This deal that Mr. Fleury is talking about did involve Israel returning the Sinai Peninsula to Egypt. That's why in the past Mr. Fleury was critical of the deal. He didn't think that there would ever be a situation where Israel should give up land for peace. However, with this one situation, an exception could be made because God's apostle, Mr. Armstrong, was involved, and because of the location. Mount Sinai is where God gave ancient Israel his law. It's a place of great significance, and it is also a place that unifies the three major world religions. Like I said in that clip, Islam, Christianity, and Judaism all point back to the great prophet Moses. And Moses is the one who received that law at Mount Sinai. So because of the significance of the location, it actually does make sense that if you're going to have a peace plan, this would be the best place to do it. The proposed World Peace Center was to be built at the base of Mount Sinai, like I said. Israel controlled it at the time, but gave it up in 1982. This World Peace Center was to be a symbol of cooperation and unity among the world's three major religions. Ultimately, this project fell apart when Sadat was assassinated. Sadat's bloody end is just one bit of sobering proof that all of man's efforts to achieve peace will fail. However, the location of the proposed peace center provides a look at the only way to reach everlasting peace. Mr. Armstrong, as soon as he heard about this plan, actually immediately wrote a check for $100,000 as part of a pledge of $1 million to be paid off eventually. That just shows you Mr. Armstrong's passionate support for any peace endeavor that could possibly lead to a nice outcome. At Mount Sinai thousands of years ago, ancient Israel received the Ten Commandments from the Almighty God. Today, only God's one true church keeps the full letter and spirit of God's law. And that ties into this quote from page 5 of the booklet. "God's law distinguishes us from every other church on earth." Conservatives in the United States often talk about getting back to our forefathers and the Constitution. That Constitution had many godly principles built into it, and certainly a restoration of respect for it would be a move in the right direction. But that document wouldn't really solve America's problems. In reality, this country needs to get back to this beginning, Israel's founding as a nation at Mount Sinai, when God himself came down and spoke to the people. That would take the nation back to where its problems could really be solved. But sadly, our nation has reached the point of no return physically. However, it's not too late for individuals to respond to God's message. Imagine having the leader of your nation personally talk to God. Imagine God's voice booming out, revealing the beautiful, living, inexorable law of God. Now, you would think that a situation like that, where the Israelites see all of this blinding, hear all of this booming power, would actually change their lives and they would actually obey God forever. But it didn't take long for them to rebel. And as you will learn as you look deeper and deeper into the Bible, they could not actually keep God's law fully anyway because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. God wrote the Ten Commandments on two stone tablets so that Moses could teach from them. You can find that in Exodus 24 and verse 12. On page 7 of this booklet, teaching the law is a crucial job for God's people. Certainly, we teach God's law of true love and peace with words, but even more importantly, we teach by our example, by being doers of the word. We are committed to showing the world how to keep God's law of peace. We give away millions of dollars worth of literature. We show people how to bring peace and joy into their marriages and families, and how to make their spiritual lives successful. We give through our cultural foundation. We invite this world into Armstrong Auditorium and strive to give them the most positive, uplifting, and royal experiences we possibly can. And these efforts do have an impact. This is where Mr. Armstrong comes in. The Philadelphia Church of God continues his legacy to this day. Mr. Armstrong inspired the world with a message of hope in a better future, a time when God will rule over all nations and bring us the peace we have sought in vain for 6,000 years of human history. God's law builds strong families. That's what you can take away from this portion of the program. This is something that you will not hear from any other church out there. What Christian churches so-called today actually teach obedience and adherence to God's law? Don't they all say that the law is done away? And yet, you can see by the fruits that keeping God's law actually works. You can tell just by looking at any families in the PCG how this way does work. You have children who are obedient, they behave themselves, they can sit for 2 hours without screaming their heads off, which is truly outstanding when you consider how most children in the world behave. And this isn't to brag, but there is a way of life that works, and there's only a very small group of people today that is living that way of life. And yet this church does tell the entire world exactly how to live it if they so choose. This is a law, though, that builds families. That is a positive thing. That's not a burden. That's not something that we should seek to run away from or throw in the trash. The law actually makes us happy. It reveals the path toward true success. Here's a passage here. Malachi 4 verses 5 through 6 states, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." You can prove that Mr. Armstrong fulfilled the role of this end time Elijah. He preached a message about family just before the Great Tribulation, the day of the Lord, and the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. The Philadelphia Church of God today, under Mr. Gerald Fleury, continues to build strong families. Chapter 2 of the Way of Peace Restored Momentarily booklet bears the same name as the booklet itself, The Way of Peace Restored Momentarily. On page 14, Mr. Fleury writes, "Herbert W. Armstrong actually showed this world a peace plan that does work. The way of God and God's law, the way of give versus the way of get. He taught about that way throughout his life, even taking the message of that way personally to kings and other leaders of nations all over the earth. On top of that, Mr. Armstrong personally endorsed a human plane peace pact that was very different from any other plan for peace out there. It was the Camp David Accords and other peace initiatives between Anwar Sadat of Egypt and Menachem Begin of Israel." Mr. Armstrong knew that peace plans devised by men always fail. He knew that ultimately God would have to get involved. He would actually have to return to the earth and restore his government before we'd ever have lasting peace. But at the same time, he understood that seeking peace in any way we can in this life before Christ returns is a noble objective. Heart failure in 1977 severely limited Mr. Armstrong's ability to lend further support to the World Peace Center. and the project was halted entirely. So here's another prime example that all efforts of men to achieve peace will fail. Mr. Armstrong knew that, and yet he still contributed, because it gives us a glimpse into the peace that we will experience for all eternity. James 3 and verse 18 says, "And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Mr. Armstrong was a righteous man. Anyone should be able to tell you that if they had any sort of interactions with him. That's why world leaders and the poor, every person of every type of background in this world, could really understand where he was coming from, and he broke through to them. On page 30 of the booklet, Mr. Fleury writes, "Mr. Armstrong showed us and showed the world the way of peace. Just look at the fruits. He brought peace to the church, and momentarily he brought it to this world. What an example. It won't be long before he and Mr. Sadat will be together again. This time they will be teaching and practicing the way of peace and saying, 'Oh, how I love God's law.' What a wonderful time we have to look forward to. And it's almost here. Be aware of just how soon that peace will fill this earth." This is a theme that you will see recurring throughout all of these programs. It will pop up again and again in Philadelphia Church of God literature as you go through it. If you obey the law, you will have peace. You will have happiness. You will be fulfilled and content. You'll be living the abundant life, not just today, but for all eternity. Law, peace, it's a common theme that you will continue to notice. You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. I hope you'll join us next week when we cover the Philadelphia Church of God booklet, Ambassador for World Peace.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.